Careers Corner. I'm in conversation with Leila Musa, Senior Associate of the Employment Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, also referred to as CDH. We're talking about the Constitutional Court redefining parental leave and the implications it has for employers and professionals. Leila, welcome to Kaya Biz. Thank you for your time. Oh, Leila, seems as though your mic is on mute, so we're going to try to get you back up. There we go. Welcome to Kaya Biz.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Excited to speak to you this evening around a topic that really does not only have socioeconomic consequences, but even economic consequences for the businesses that they're involved in from a legal point of view. But maybe give us a refresher on the ruling that took place at the Constitutional Court. What's the background? What motivated the shift? And what does this new landmark proposal mean?
Right. Thanks very much for having me, Gugu. So really interesting changes that we're seeing off the back of the Constitutional Court's judgment that was handed down on Friday in the matter that involved the Van Wyks and various other parties. So just by summary, for people who haven't been following the matter, essentially it was brought by a married couple, the Van Wyks, who challenged the maternity leave and parental leave benefits in terms of the BCEA on the basis that it was unconstitutional. And really, to sum it up, the reasoning for that was due to their particular circumstances, and which would impact other couples and even single parent households in different ways. They found that where Ms. Van Wyk was someone who had her own business, whereas Mr. Van Wyk was employed, the argument was along the lines that it impacted their dignity in that their child was not able to have the benefit of a parental leave benefit for a full 4 months, where Mr. Van Wyk was someone who was employed and able to take that benefit. So what we saw happen on Friday was that the Constitutional Court confirmed the earlier order of the High Court. And effectively, what they said there was that all parents, regardless of their gender or their birthing status, and when I say birthing status, I mean whether they're a birthing couple or a couple that's adopting or a couple that is a commissioning parent as part of a surrogacy agreement. So all of those categories of parents are entitled to the full period of parental leave, which is 4 months and 10 days. Whereas previously we saw a longer period that was permitted for birthing mothers with maternity leave, as opposed to the other types of leave.
Mm-hmm. This is so important because it really does shift the lay of the landscape, right? Essentially providing a level of equity or universal parental leave. But help us contextualize. Does this essentially mean that this now forms part of basic labor law?
Absolutely. So the impact of Friday's decision was for the court to do what we call in law reading in. So they read into our current Basic Conditions of Employment Act with immediate effect the statutory provisions that allow all parents, as I've said, to take that full period of parental leave. And they've also, together with that immediate reading in, given Parliament 36 months, so a period of 3 years, in order to now amend the legislation itself to align with the order of constitutional invalidity.
Mm-hmm. And maybe this is also where we need to talk about the impact it has then on employers. So for anyone who might be working for a corporate company, or even myself here at Kaya, how then do businesses need to implement this new particular policy and structure?
Yes, so the first thing there is just what the actual impact is. So where you are persons who are employed, and you are entitled to take your parental leave. If you're a single parent, you're entitled to that full portion of parental leave, right? Which is the four months and 10 days. And if you are two parents who are employed, you as a couple are entitled collectively to the 4 months and 10 days. Now, this is where it gets quite interesting, is that you can either choose as a couple to take that parental leave consecutively, or you can take it concurrently. Oh. Provided that what you're taking collectively is the 4 months and 10 days. Yeah, very interesting. And the proviso on that is that we as a couple, you have a birthing mother, they may not as a birthing mother, just from a health perspective, they may not return to work within the first 6 weeks after their birth. So there's just a preference on that first 6 week portion where the birthing mom, in the case of heterosexual or birthing couples, that would be, you know, for the birthing mom to take those 6 weeks. But the balance of that, it's up to the couple to decide by agreement how they then split the leave, if they choose to split it at all. And if they don't agree, then the what the statute then says, or the reading in remedy for now, is that it must be taken as equitably as possible. So split down the middle insofar as possible.
Leila, we've so, got you.
Yeah. No, so I was going to say what employers then, what they then have to do is think about, well, this needs to, they need to make provision for this within their employment landscape, right? And as because it's a basic condition of employment, as of Friday, any parental couple would have the right to take this leave. Now, whether or not that leave is something that's a paid benefit, that's a matter of the employer's particular policies or contractual benefits. But what does need to be done now is that employers need to ensure, in order to comply with what the court has handed down on Friday, that any parental couple is entitled to collectively take that 4 months and 10-day period.
Let's stick to the benefits for a moment before we talk about couples versus single parents. So those benefits, as you say, would then be, you can take the time off, you're entitled to 4 months and 10 days, but how you might be remunerated or offered any kind of support for it is between you and the company itself, or what the company actually might offer in terms of your contractual agreement.
That is correct. So what the Basic Conditions of Employment Act provides for is the leave itself. So it says that you're permitted to take that time off work. Whether or not that is paid is something, as you've correctly stated, that would be a benefit that would arise out of your employment. Now, people who where it's typically unpaid, persons would then be entitled to claim from the UIF in terms of that separate maternity benefit. And I know you're going to ask me now what happens to that.
Yes.
And it's very important to note that as of Friday's judgment, the court declined to actually read into the particular provisions of the UIA Act and into UIF benefits, as sufficient information on those particular benefits were not before the court in order for it to do that with immediate effect. Mm. But I think to sum it up, where we are is that you're allowed the time off, but it is unpaid unless your employer contractually or in terms of its policy provides you with a more favorable benefit and pays you for the full or a portion thereof.
Oh, all my friends in corporate must be smiling right now, because typically they do have very favorable benefits. A key theme that we mentioned, Leila, in our conversation is couples. And that's come up regarding, you know, whether heterosexual as couples or same-sex couples that might be in a relationship or having a child. What about single mothers or single parents? Let me put it that way, because we also know that men can also adopt or actually ask a surrogate to give birth to their children. So what happens in light of a single employed parent? What happens there?
Yeah. So the single employed parent, irrespective of what their birthing status is, as you've correctly pointed out, they would be entitled to that full 4 months and 10 days. So there is no differentiation or discrimination in how the benefit is applied, whether one is single or part of a unit, whatever that unit looks like. And the important basis for that is, as the court reasoned, it's the nurturing period for the child that is key, right? So because a child being born into a family or adopted into a family comes into a particular type of family, they should not receive more or less of that nurturing time with the parent or parents. Mm-hmm. And that's what was key.
Got you. Okay, that does make a lot more sense in terms of the process within which it's managed. But let's focus on adoption, because I believe that there were certain limitations on age. And the truth is, adoption can take place either at birth or at different stages of a child's life. What shifts and changes have taken place there since the court ruling?
Yeah, so the previous position was that the adoption benefit applied to adoptive parents adopting children 2 years and below. And that has now changed to say that it can be adopting a child. So we're talking about minors of any age.
Under 18.
And that's a so that's a significant shift, right? Because it changes how many people that particular adoptive benefit may apply to. And again, that reasoning really resonates and relates to the fact that the best interest of the child and the child's benefit to be nurtured into the home, you know, to adjust to the dynamics of the home, the culture of the home, and just be able to spend time with their parents. That is really what the court focused on and saw as so significantly important for it to change that age limit.
As an overview in terms of the shift, though, I guess then, as you say, this took place on Friday. Businesses do need to comply. It forms part of labor law. And employees also need to be mindful of just reassessing the contractual arrangement with the employers to actually understand any additional benefits that they might come or receive, despite the fact that they are entitled now to 4 months and 10 days of maternal or paternal leave. I guess the politically correct way to say it would be parental leave. Would that be correct? I'm just cognizant of making sure that we're fully inclusive.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, so that's actually what it's called now. So it's just broadly called parental leave. And the old, it was called, you know, Section 25, the maternity leave benefit, has now been replaced with that wording. So now we just speak to parental leave. And as you say, it's with immediate effect. So employers have to act quite quickly and just ensure that they are aligning their policies and that, importantly, if people are applying for leave, that they're ensuring that they're granting it within what is required now by our effectively read-in version of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act.
Leila, I can imagine this means heightened levels of communication, which might or might not happen effectively between employers and employees, which might see you witnessing some interesting cases developing. But in terms of the notification process, whether, you know, for someone who is expectant at the moment with child or expecting a child, expecting to adopt a child, how do they need to communicate this effectively with the employer? And, you know, what about the employer's responsibility to express this to employees?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think let's start with the employee perspective. So there is a notification requirement, and this did exist before as well with any kind of parental leave or maternity leave that one was taking. And there is a requirement that employees notify their employer in writing of the intended leave days, as well as when you intend to return to work, at least 4 weeks in advance, right? Or 1 month in the case of adoption or commissioning leave. And then there's a provisor, you know, that says unless it's impracticable to do so. But generally, one is required to provide that to your employer. And that's really just so that the employer can ensure that there's planning and that it doesn't come as a surprise. And, you know, from an operational perspective, they can ensure that the relevant processes are in place. And from an employer's perspective, I think really, apart from everything that we're seeing now in the media, I think that employers will be notifying the employees as to how policies are changing and to ensure that employees are complying with the notification requirements in terms of law. And I think just lastly, as an employment lawyer, I would say that it's important for employees or for both sides actually of the relationship to just make sure that it is an open line of communication, right? So if one knows that, you know, I'm taking 3 months and my partner's taking a month, you know, ensure that that's properly communicated, because one doesn't want to find yourself in a position where your employer is now without sufficient information. And that perhaps leads to some form of distrust where there's a potential, you know, insinuation that one is now trying to take advantage or take more leave than you're entitled to. And I think that's just an important thing to remember, because it really is a relationship of trust that goes both ways.
100%. Leila, it's going to be an interesting 3 months ahead. I can't wait to get an update from you at the beginning of next year. But thank you so much for your time and making it this so much easier for all of us to understand.
Thanks so much, Gugu. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Leila Musa, Senior Associate of the Employment Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, also known as CDH, helping us fully understand the new Constitutional Court ruling that redefines parental leave. So, regardless of your gender, if you are expectant and expecting a child, pregnant or through a surrogate or adoption, there is a universal parental leave. Essentially, all parents biological, adoptive, and commissioning are now collectively entitled to 4 months and 10 days of parental leave to be shared as they choose. Now, bear in mind that you do have 4 weeks to notify your employer if you do intend to take such leave. Do also be sure that you fully understand and comprehend any additional benefits that might be due to you or non-benefits. The one thing that the law does call for is that you're allowed to take time off 4 months and 10 days to raise your child. However, the benefits in terms of payment, non-payment, or any additional support that you might receive from your place of work is dependent on the employment contract and arrangement that you have with your employer.